called Fear Not. Appropriate after this week. Fear Not. And what we're going to do is look at the Christmas story. You don't have to wait till Christmas to read it. We're going to look at the Christmas story where on different occasions an angelic being shows up. So we're going to, today, we're going to start with Mary when an angel showed up. All right. And how many of you have read your Bible enough that every time an angel shows up, they usually come, they do. They always start with this, fear not. So I have yet to encounter an angel, but I hope he does say fear not and I'm not splat on the floor. All right. So we're going to talk about when this angel appeared to this teenage virgin girl named Mary. We're going to talk about that. And then, how do I make this relevant to your life? We're going to talk about the fear of what God has planned for us. Oh, Pastor D, I don't have any fear. I'm glad you think that. But when I come up to you and I ask you about things that God is doing or wants to do in your life, and you take five giant steps backwards, I think there's times that we have fear of what God wants to do in our life. So, Mary had it happen, and we're going to learn from Mary as we go through this story. So, everybody, where are we going to read? How many of you know the Christmas story? Luke chapter 1. All right, I guess it's in different parts, but this is the one that we would read on Christmas Day. Pop-Pop would read. Okay, Luke chapter 1. Now, before I start, I want to say this. I believe that there are a lot of people that sometimes treat God like he's this annoying person. This annoying person who always asks you for something. Does anybody have, don't raise your hand. Does anybody have an annoying person in their life, your life, who always, you know, when they call you up, they are always asking you for something. Money, rakes, lawnmowers, coffee, sugar, bring the dinner, why don't you? Okay. And because you might, not me, I don't, everybody, nobody's annoying in my life, you might have an annoying person in your life. What do you do when you see their number on your screen? Let it go to voicemail. Now, please, my eyes closed. If you have tried to call me and I didn't call you back this week, it's not because I thought you were annoying. I'll be really, be honest with you. I got slammed with a chest head cold. And I actually left work. One, I got crabby. And then, you didn't think so? Dolores doesn't even think a spider's bad. She just, just so sweet little creatures here. Yeah, I really was not doing good. So I didn't return a lot of phone calls. And now I don't have to because I already told you. Okay. Anyway, but listen, really, sometimes we treat God like that. Unknowingly, we don't really, unknowingly, because if, everybody say if, if we would surrender everything to God, he might ask you to go lane with all your kids to Africa for years. Okay, all right. He might make you give up something you really like shoe shopping or hunting. Yeah, I get you all right. Now, because really, a lot of times what we do is we get close to God for all the good stuff. But that surrender everything, we get into fear. I get into fear. He might ask, all right? So, now, let's talk about what fear is, because the title of the message is called Fear Not. Now, I've heard a lot of people say this, fear is the absence of faith. Anybody ever hear that before? That's not a Bible definition, but it sounds good, and I do believe some of it, but I'm going to just throw this one at you based on the story we're going to read. Fear is placing your faith in something that you shouldn't. A lot of people have faith in their fear. They have placed their faith in things that are what ifs. Let me do that one. What if? Okay. What if the economy goes south again? What if they have layoffs again? Oh, I have a colonoscopy on the 24th. What if? All right. So what happens is we get into fear on all those what ifs. All right. Fear is placing our faith in the worst case scenario. Anybody have any? Okay. You know that one daughter that was a hearer? Don't say the name. Is consistently late for everything. Consistently. And in high school, she teamed up with her best buddy, Rachel. And if this person was consistently late, this one took off the other half, okay? So, Rachel and this person over here, they'd end up at my house for dinner time probably 4 out of 5 times a week, all right? And it was really fun because Rachel's mom was working and this and that, and they'd do homework and projects. But Rachel's mom was not like those two. Rachel's mom, if you asked her, if she said, Rachel, what time are you going to be at Miss D's house? And Rachel would say, well, 5 o'clock. Well, Rachel's mom would call because Rachel didn't call, and she'd call me and goes, what happened? What's the matter? All right? All about what ifs and fear and panic. That lady, her opening sentence, now, back in the day, I think Jack had a cell phone, so and we were too cheap to get caller ID. Otherwise, I would have let that thing go. Because I'm telling you, those girls were supposed to be here, and Mrs. So-and-so, got to take these names off here. Shoot, I'm working on that. Mrs. So-and-so would get to this point of irrational panic, fear. Okay? Now, the good news is, how many of you know 2 Timothy 1:7? How many of you know that? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And some of you should say that a lot. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. All right? So today I want to talk about the fear of what God might want to ask you to do. All right? So here's the question. Why are we afraid of God asking us to do? Why are we afraid, except for he's going to send you to, you missed it. God's going to send you guys to Africa, Stacy. Okay? Why are we afraid? Nancy's behind there going, heck no, Bill. They're not taking those grandbabies out of the country, all right? All right. Okay, so if you're taking notes, write this down. Why are we afraid of God's plans? Why are we afraid of God's plans? Okay, number one, based on this story we're going to get to, God's interruptions are inconvenient. God's interruptions are inconvenient. That's usually part of the plan, okay? So aren't they? Has anybody had God's interruptions highly inconvenient in your life? All right? Well, let's get to this. Here we go. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. I'm reading out of the New Living, okay? In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, by the way, who's Elizabeth? It's one of Mary's relatives, and she was not able to bear children, and then, wow, they got an angel that shows up, and now Elizabeth is pregnant, okay? So in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of the king of David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favor woman. The Lord is with you." Now, most people, when they think, now not you guys, because you guys are already past 12th grade into college, but a lot of people think about angels and they think of those, you know, naked little babies with stubby wings and shoot arrows and sit on top of a cloud. Right? That's what they think angels are, all right? But listen, they are not anything like that. We've got two that are actually named in the Bible. They go by names, not just angels, the angel of the Lord, the angel. We've got two. We've got one, Michael, the archangel. Listen, when he walked in the room, fear not, definitely, splat, all right? And the second one is this one here, Gabriel, he's got a name. And this is the one that God sent to Mary, all right? So let's read the rest of the story. Let's just read this next verse. I'll back up. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favor woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. All right, question. Raise your hand if you know the answer. Is Mary excited about this angel showing up? Answer, no. She's freaking out, shaking in her sandals. Right? Okay. Oh my gosh, what is this angel here for? She is trying to figure this out. Okay? Now, let's get into a little background. Because sometimes you just read through this because you've read it every Christmas. Da-da, the Christmas story. But let me give you some background. About this time, it's not exact on how old she was, but Mary was between the ages 14, 15, or 16 when this angel, Gabriel, shows up. All right? And in her culture, after you go through puberty, you get betrothed. You get promised. You get engaged to somebody, a guy, ladies, guys, okay? All right? So that's what's kind of going on. And she probably, because it says she was betrothed, I'm going to just say engaged because I don't think I could say that again. She's engaged to this guy named Joseph. All right? Now, how do you think she feels about this? I'm just going to make the story bigger than life. I'm thinking she's so excited. She has gone out and bought all the bride's magazines to take her to next year. She is sitting up and watching Pinterest every day. She's got her own Pinterest site, and she's writing down and saving all the pretty things. Yeah, we know. Okay, everything you can imagine to make yours the most amazing, memorable day. And not to mention, she's probably practicing Mrs. Joseph Carpenter. Because I don't know what her last name is, all right? All right? So, all of a sudden, this angel interrupts. Everybody say interrupts. Interrupts her well-thought, amazing future plans, right? Interrupts, okay? And matter of fact, it is highly interruptible. I mean, he just is like, she's got all this stuff planned, and this angel comes and interrupts her plans, okay? Now, what we learn from this is what we think is an interruption is an invitation. What we think is an interruption is an invitation from God. Have an invitation. You get an invitation. What we think is an interruption, like you are messing with my plans, if you get it right, it is an invitation from God. All right, I'm not walking around anymore. Go back here. Okay. Maybe you'll get someone that side, all right? Okay. But most of the time, we feel like this invitation is an interruption. Most of the time, we think an invitation from God is an interruption of your plans. Mary did. She had plans, all right? She had plans. Now, take for instance, Moses. Moses got interrupted from God, by God, with a burning bush, and God gave him an invitation to different plans. Deliver my children out of Egypt, okay? Let's think another one. Oh, Jonah. Jonah had his plans, all right? Jonah. Who's Jonah? Jonah and the whale? Well, he got interrupted. One day he's swimming, and he gets interrupted by a big fish. And God gives him an invitation to do what he was supposed to do, which was preach repentance. All right? Sometimes they're inconvenient, but if you get it, God, these interruptions really could be an invitation. All right? Saul in the New Testament. Saul in the New Testament, he was doing his plans, killing Christians, and God interrupts his plans, throws him off a horse with lightning, all right, and next gives him an invitation to write 2/3 of the New Testament, the grace of God. Oh, man, just great things, right? All right, so write this down. God interrupts plans, your plans, my plans, with an invitation to something better. Don't you think? Something better. Now, the interesting thing is, I bet you there's a whole lot of people. Okay, Scott, look at me. And you know that God is going to interrupt you and he's getting ready to hand you this. And you go, huh, okay. No, you don't want to take it. And he won't take it. He will not take this invitation. Matter of fact, he's like shaking it away. Pastor D, all right? I think there's a lot of people that shake off God's invitations to do something higher. Just do something different, all right? And because, you know, God really wants to do something different in your life. He's the God of change. And I know I make this faith statement all the time. God, I love change. I love change. I love change. I love change. So if God interrupts your plan and gives you an invitation, it's because he wants to make a change in your life. And a lot of times, they're higher, they're gooder, they're better, okay, than your plans. Especially if you're bored out of your gourd. You need an interruption, okay? Look, people say, oh, Pastor, I'm so bored. Oh, my gosh. Now, if we could be sensitive enough to not think of it as an interruption, but to take it as an invitation. God's given you an invitation to change your plans. Wow, what would happen? Now, a lot of you have had a wow where God interrupted. You got a God interrupted story. How many of you have had a God interrupted story in your life? If you've asked Jesus Christ into your life, you already got an invitation and you let him interrupt him. And I was in college. I had this girl. Three of them ganged up on me. And I got my first invitation to interrupt my life. And they bugged me to go to this Bible study at Lou's house. Lou's Ortman. Okay, I'm not supposed to do names. I'm going to get this. Okay, I'm going to no names. Okay. And I just ignored it, the invitation. It was an interruption. And finally said, finally, listen, I will go with you guys and just get it over with. Well, I go to this small group, and there's a Catholic priest who's born again, spirit-filled, and then this crazy charismatic guy and his wife that run this small group. And I walk in, and they're doing their... Oh, Pam used to go to that. Okay, we've been a long time. Okay, so we're in this Bible study. Number one, I didn't have a Bible. Number two, I didn't know anybody that had a Bible until I show up to this place, and everybody's got Bibles, and they're opening and flipping pages. And you know, I have to go to what's the part in the beginning, the index? What's that? To find out where Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are. That's how ignorant, stupid, right? Okay? So we're in this Bible study, and the Catholic priest stops, and he has a word of knowledge. I get them mixed up. Okay. Pastor D, are you kidding me? And he reads my mail and tells about an event in my life where I was crushed, my brother was killed, and just had passed away like 2 months ago, and he didn't know that. All right, so God got my attention, and he started working on my heart, and one day I just finally surrendered, and I let God interrupt my life, and I took the invitation, and I let Jesus Christ be Lord of my life. How many of you have had an interruption story? Yep, all right. Now, it didn't stop there. It kind of continued. So one day, this happens all the time, but I'm making a story. One day, my friend's father, I found out as I was talking to her, is in the hospital. And I'm like, oh, I should go see him. All right? I should go see him. And then I'm like, oh, this is an interruption. And then I just, oh, I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. And finally, I took the invitation. I went to visit my friend's father. By then, I'd been in the Lord for quite a few years, so I knew where Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was. And we went in, and we started talking, and I was praying. We decided to pray. I thought, can I pray for you? And I was really hoping they'd say no. Just take off the pressure here, you know, because I only knew where Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was by then. So he goes, yeah. And I'm like, crud, what am I going to pray. So I prayed something, and next thing I know, words are coming out of my mouth that I knew they were smarter than me words. It must have been God. And I thought, wow, God's plans were better than my plans. Anybody ever have God's plans better than your plans? Oh, man. All right. So, how about this one? Then next week, you go to church and someone shares a need. And you think, I don't have time for this interruption of my life. Then, somehow, you sign up for Angel Tree Ministry to wrap. Did you figure out when they're wrapping, Julie? Okay. We're still working. Wrap the Angel Tree presents or bag them and give them out on Sunday, Saturday. Did you guys know? We need Randy. Everybody say Randy. Randy. Oh, wait, there you are. There's a glare. There's a halo over your head. It's really, if you stand up here, the light comes in and there's this glow. Okay, Randy. So God puts on our heart to sign up to bag the presents and give them out when? What day is that? What do you think? We don't have a life? Friday night? I could tell you all the shows that are on Friday night. I don't have a life. Okay, so we sign up. We sign up because we take the interruption and the invitation and we say, we're going to sign up, all right? Go see Randy and sign up, all right? All right, you kind of get that. What happens in all of that, guys? What happens in all that? What happened? God interrupts somebody, hands out an invitation. And how about if that invitation is really a divine invitation? Wow. That God has higher and better things for your life. So, who would like an invitation? All right, who would like an invitation? Okay, let's get back to the story. So the angel of the Lord appeared to this girl who had her life nicely planned out. And he says, I have something different from you. Look at verse 30. I have something different from you. I have an interruption. Matter of fact, I think my interruption is an invitation. Verse 30. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for God has decided, an invitation to bless you. You will become pregnant and have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. See, you don't have to buy that book with 5,000 names, right? He's already picked out the name. The name is Jesus, and he will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David's, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. All right. What's the opening statement that the angel says? Fear not. All right, fear not, because I'm going to change your plans. Fear not. So why are we afraid of God's plans? The first one we wrote down was his interruptions are a little inconvenient, right? And the second thing, for if you're taking notes, is because God's purposes often are different than your plans. And his purposes for us are so different. Yep, so different. And they might just be better, right? All right. Verse 31. Did I get there? Trifocals, here we go. I did that. You will become pregnant and have a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be great, and you will call him the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his ancestors. Hallelujah. And he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end. How many of you have had teenage girls? Listen, on a good day, they got emotions going, ching, chong, woo, whoosh, even though all of them will deny it. Okay, now, can you imagine this teenage girl, her emotions? God interrupted her plans. He's disturbed her plans for her whole planned out future, right? All right, and at one time, she's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be the mother of the Son of God. Humility. Wow. That's one of those high emotions. Wow. And then the next minute, oh my gosh, I'm pregnant. Ah! Fear. Teenage girl. One way this way, one way that way. All right? So one way she's honoring God. Oh my gosh, I am so blessed to be the mother of the child of God. Wow. Okay. And then she's the next one, fear. OMG. I have to tell Joseph. Ah! All right. Fear. Joey, why don't you just sit down for a little bit? I have something. You're sitting down. I have something to tell you. I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Okay. Ah! All right. So, kind of crazy going on, right? Crazy, right? So, but everybody, God's purposes are way, way, way better than your plans. God's purposes are usually way, way better than your plans, okay? His, matter of fact, his purposes might be higher than your purposes. I could just see Mary just arguing with him. Now, if he had one of my teenager daughters, a particular one, not that one, you know, the other two, the one in the middle, you would have gotten an argument till the cows turn blue, right? Okay? And no. Praise God. Mary looked at this and thought, wow. All right. So when God interrupts you with an invitation, right? It's an invitation for him to do something higher and better in your life, right? Such as, I have a friend. I have one BFF. It's been that way for like 30 years. So much that I smashed her kid's finger in the door. We had to go to the emergency room, and she still wanted to be my friend. Okay, can you imagine? All right. Well, she has a stepdaughter, and she had a babysitting business. Now, you guys keep your mouth shut back there. You know who I'm talking about. All right, she had this babysitting business, and she was kind of making cakes on the side, and not enough money was coming in. And she's kind of doing the fear thing, because it actually kind of dried up, the babysitting thing dried up. You know, God, don't you love me? How are we going to make the bills? And then one day she gets a phone call, because she does this side thing of making cakes. She gets a phone call from a gentleman she used to work for in high school at the cake store, the supply shop. And he says, hey, you, because you know I'm not giving names out. Hey, you, I'm retiring and I want to sell you my business. And see, nobody but God knew that was a desire of her heart for years. It's like 10 years later. So anyway, she ends up by buying this. She is happier than I don't know what. And she's working hard, but she is so happy. And you know what she thought was a curse? Oh my gosh, the babysitting business is drying up. And you know, I barely make enough money. Turned out to be a blessing. Because God's purposes sometimes are higher than your purposes and your plans. Wouldn't you agree? Amen. Okay, I have had this, people tell me this all the time. And I have another couple friend, I'm going to leave their names out. They're my friends that are little people. Not midgets or anything, but that was Jack's nickname to them. And she was supposed to get married to this guy, and that relationship went south. And she is like, oh, I'll never get married. I'll never have a good marriage. Oh, my plans have been bombarded, interrupted, whatever. But you know what happened? Out at Rhema, she met this guy from New Jersey, and lo and behold, he was the perfect person God picked out for them to love God together and do life together. So sometimes your purposes and your plans aren't the highest and the best, all right? Anybody? So God's purposes and plans sometimes are different, all right? Now, I just wonder if maybe you have some teeny weeny ridiculous little plans and God has higher plans for you and he's trying to interrupt you and give you an invitation to some new plans and you're like, I'm not taking that. Put your hands in your pocket. All right. And how about if you'd go, yes, I'm going to take the invitation, God. Trust you that you have higher and better for me instead of, I can't believe, what are we going to do, all right? Let's look at verse 34. Here we go. Mary asked the angel, but how can I have a baby? I'm a virgin, all right? In other words, hey, God, this is impossible. Like, Don't you know I'm a virgin and I can't have a baby because I'm a virgin? This is impossible. Inconceivable. All right? Uh-huh. Anybody have a list of telling God, this is impossible? Anybody have something in your life where you're going, God, this is big. This is inconceivable. This is physically impossible. This is a no way. Anybody have any of those in your life? All right? I could have Bob come up and give a testimony, except for it'd take too long. He got interrupted with an invitation to do a job with a brother-in-law, which right there was just, don't take the invitation. What, are you dumb? Okay, but he prayed, and he took the invitation, and it has been inconceivably impossible, but every month, because remember the first month, man, we're not going to make it. We are not going to make it. That was September. The next month, October, see, I hear from Dolores, we're going under. We are going bankrupt. We're not going to make it. That was October. November, we're in December. So sometimes take the invitation and watch God do something higher and bigger. Now, he's still walking this thing out, trusting God, believe in God, all right? I love these instant things, but anyway, hallelujah. How about when God says, I would like you, command you, to forgive this person? Beep, 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 beep. You don't know what they, you're talking to God. God, you don't know what they did in my life. You're talking to God. Of course he knows what he did, all right? And you go, it's impossible. Inconceivable. Anybody have ever had that one happen? Yeah. How about this? God, I don't see how you can heal this marriage. You don't know what they've done, and you don't know what I've done. It's impossible. God's just blinking like, I'm God. Nothing is impossible, all right? So you kind of get that, right? Now, all that stuff that the angel just told Mary, she's thinking, oh my gosh, this is impossible, inconceivable, absolutely unbelievable, right? All right, so verse 35. I'm trying to remember where I am. Verse 35. And the angel replied, after she said, it's impossible, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you with the power of the Most High. You know what that means? This is a job too big for man. This is a God-sized job. That whole thing that God has told was going to happen to Mary, that's a God-sized job. That's why the Holy Spirit's there, all right? So, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby born to you will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And what's, okay, I don't want to read about Elizabeth, sorry. Verse 37, for nothing is impossible with God. Okay, how much is impossible with God? How much is impossible with God? Nothing is impossible, God. And you know, some days you're going to have to say that over and over and over with a situation you have. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible, God. You look at your checkbook. Nothing is impossible, God. You look at your teenage son and you just got the phone call from the police station. Nothing is impossible with God. Okay, how much is impossible with God? Nothing. Okay, now listen, I know people have come here today and you are facing the impossible. But God wants you to know there's nothing impossible. He's God. I love when I toss sovereign, but he's all powerful. And he wants to do the impossible. And some of you, like, back off, baby. Take your hands off of it and just say, God, there's nothing impossible. There's nothing impossible in my life, all right? So Mary says, I see no way. This is a no way. Nothing is impossible. So my question to everybody today, see, you're not getting off of this, right? Easy. What is God asking you to do? What is God asking you to believe? Close your eyes, don't look at me. What is God asking you? What is God asking you to believe? If you're a follower of Jesus, guess what? God talks to you. And he will lead you and guide you. He wants to direct your path. So, here's the million-dollar question. What is God asking you to do and to believe? All right? Now, how it happens in your life is a whole different one than how it happens in my life. But I bet some of you, as soon as... Okay, open your eyes, don't fall asleep, poke the guy next to you. Yeah. As soon as I said, what is God asking you to do or to believe? Some of you knew right away, but you've been resisting him. I'm not listening, okay? Some of you, if you would ask God that, or you'd let God ask you that, excuse me, it might take a couple of days, all right, to get your answer. But the question for everybody is, what is God asking you to do or to believe, all right? Now, some of you, God's asking you to restore a relationship. Are you kidding me? It's bad enough. No. Maybe God's asking you to do that. How about this one? Start a grow group, small group in your house. But God, that's impossible. Haven't you seen my apartment? We have one sofa. Three butts get to sit on it. All right, it's impossible. What is God asking you to do? What is God asking you to believe? How about this one? This is personally with me, and I've talked to Mandy about this. As soon as I get some other kids out of my house, I've just had on my heart to foster kids. And then I start talking myself out of it. What are you kidding me? You would have a house to yourself? Quiet. The water bill would drop by $25. $30. Gee whiz, okay? But what is God asking you to do? So each of you, it'll play out differently, but you need to ask, God, what is it you have for me to do or to believe, okay? Now, write this down, and I'm going to make some sense of it. Outcome is God's responsibility. The outcome is God's, I should do it this way, God's responsibility. Obedience, it's my responsibility. Okay, so after God has asked you through Pastor D, what is it you're supposed to do or believe? And you are going to respond because you're a good little Christian boy or girl, all right? And you've decided, you've made that decision, I am responding to my Father God because he has an invitation for me that probably is going to affect people. And then this is how you go, wow, praise God. The outcome, how it's going to happen, when, that's God's corner, his responsibility. I don't have to lose sleep over it, all right? My responsibility is to obey. Everybody say obey. That's my favorite word when my kids are little. You need to obey mommy. They could spell it O-B-E-Y. Obey, obey, obey. Okay, so the outcome is God's. The responsibility for me is just to obey. So after, and listen, because I've asked the question, it is stuck in your brain. And you're going to hear that question over and over. What is it God's asking me to do in life? Maybe for this season. For in this season, what do you want me to do, Lord? All right? And when you get that, then you just don't sweat and just make sure you obey. So, how do you do all of that? You have to trust him. Oh, I love Jesus. I trust Jesus. Baloney. If you do not take the next step, baloney. All right? But if the question is, God, what do you have for my life? I am not to live up on a mountain like a hermit, unless you take in 25 kids and then you're not a hermit anymore. All right? You are not meant to do life alone. Your life is to be with people, involved with people, touching people. And if you say, well, Dee, I pray all the time. Good. After you pray, get out of your closet and go touch people because you will be filled with the power of God, all right? So, God, what is it you have for me to do? Now, what I'd like you to do is, would you pray this week and obey? Pray and obey. Because there's lots that need to be done. And everybody goes, oh, we're in the end times. I'm going to go, yeah, do you see what has to be done, though? Oh, Pastor D, we're at the end times. Oh, shut up. What are you doing? All right? There's lots to be. Yes, not over till the sings. All right. No, no, no. Okay, let me see. Maybe God's telling you to tithe. But God, it's inconvenient right now. You know, it's the holidays and I want to buy all my grandbabies gifts. Listen, if God's talking to you, you need to obey. His job, figure it out, okay? Your job, obey, all right? Listen, you simply surrender like a teenage virgin did 2,000 years ago. She got interrupted, got an invitation, totally messed her plans. She still got the guy, all right? She still got Joseph, but messed her plans. Surrender her life. All right, last verse, verse 38. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to accept whatever he wants. May everything you have said come true." And the angel left. All right, now, I am the Lord's servant. Everybody say that. Now, what she did right there is before she started making plans and getting off of Pinterest, she said, "I am the Lord's servant." And what she really was saying, she had to go and remember who I am. I am the Lord's servant. Whose I am? The Lord. Sometimes you have to go, because, you know, every time I do that, my excuses just go down the drain. Who am I? I'm the Lord's. Whose am I? No, who am I? I'm the Lord's servant. Whose am I? I'm the Lord's. All right, so when you get your brain's gone on tilt, God's interrupted you, given you an invitation, just go back there. It's really easy, and all you're going to do is surrender. God, I surrender. I surrender. And the last thing she said is probably the greatest faith statement. May it be unto me as you have stated. You know, faith. Okay, God, I'm going to do this because you said so. That's a faith statement. That lady walked in faith. Amen. Now listen, when she took that invitation, she had no idea all that it would cost her. It would probably be harder than anything else she'd ever done and could imagine. But she surrendered and took an invitation. So, how many of you are going to do some homework this week? Pray and obey. And then you can call me up. Tell me what's going on. All right? Hallelujah. Can I pray over you? Can I pray for you? Amen. All right. Father, I ask that your word would just stick to them. Father, and these words would continue to come up in our hearts and our minds. Lord, you have plans, and I receive them not as an inconvenience, but I receive your plans as an invitation to something higher, something different. Different is good, and I accept your plans, and I will obey and accomplish all the things you've called to me. Because God's ways are higher than your ways, in Jesus' name. Now, how many of you have got folks coming around Christmas time? Well, you can try practicing some of this then, all right? Uh-huh. Praise God. You got relatives coming? You can practice this. Oh, Lord, it's not an inconvenience. They're coming over. Thank you, Jesus. I accept the invitation, and your ways are higher, and I'm going to forgive Uncle Sam, and I'm going to just be a blessing, and I'm even going to say grace over the meal, and I'm even going to corner Aunt Susie because she's 99, and doesn't that woman know she's close to heaven or hell? All right? Take his plans and purposes and get excited about them. I think I'm getting totally outrageous in my young age here. I talk to ridiculous people in all sorts of places. And then I go, oh, I can't believe I said that. I sound like Jack. Oh, my gosh. All right. That guy was off the chart. All right. You guys, be off the chart. It's the most exciting life you can live. All right. Hey, New Life for Girls gifts are due back on next Sunday. All right. So because Sunday night, the